And we saw the last time we were together in John 6 that Jesus was the bread of life. And that he spoke a spiritual truth to people. Many people turned away from it. They found it hard to swallow. They found it hard to swallow that Jesus Christ was the bread of life. And that they could partake of him and have eternal life. That they needed to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And they didn't understand that. And even today, some people still don't understand that. And they think that somehow, that by taking a piece of bread and the wine, that this is how we eat Jesus, how we have eternal life. You have eternal life by faith. He said, the words I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. You have eternal life by taking Jesus Christ into your experience and trusting in him. And that's what we must do in order to have eternal life. You could eat bread all day long. You could drink wine all day long. You won't have eternal life from that. You will by partaking of Jesus Christ spiritually. That's what God calls us to. They didn't like that saying. And the more that Jesus said to them, the more they turned away. And so it's amazing that in the face of the Son of God, the creator of the world, who should be the one that calls the shots, right? He's the maker. That they would not bow. They would not turn towards him. And so it says in John 7:1, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. For he did not want to walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Was that because Jesus was afraid of dying? It wasn't his time. God had a time for everything. And this was not the time to be put to death. So he held off from going into Jerusalem. He knew that there was the right time to go there. And he was prepared to go at just the right time. Because now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. This was a feast out of the Old Testament, and it was a reminder of the fact that they traveled in the wilderness and that God provided for them. So what they would do at the Feast of Tabernacles is that they would make booths. It was also called the Feast of Booths. And they would actually make tents out of branches and palms and everything else. You couldn't go to the store and get some acrylic tent. But they would make tents, and they would be in these tents. I believe it was for 7 days the Feast of Tabernacles went on. And it was a feast where Jews came from all over to celebrate the provision of God in the wilderness. That was basically what the Feast of Tabernacles was. It was God's provision in the wilderness and a celebration of it. That's important as we go through this passage of Scripture. So it was close. His brothers, therefore, said to him, depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For even his brothers did not believe in him. Now the first thing to note here is that Jesus had brothers. Some people think that Mary was a virgin perpetually. Right? Some religions actually teach that Mary never had any other children. That Joseph and Mary never had natural relations and that there were no babies from that. But the Bible says differently. Some people try to interpret this word as cousins, but that's not what the word means. It means brothers. Jesus had brothers and sisters. You'll find that in other passages of Scripture. That Mary had natural relations with Joseph and there were other children besides. Jesus would have been the firstborn, but of course she was a virgin when Jesus was born, but she was no longer a virgin after that. She was not a perpetual virgin by any means because there were other brothers. Now, we discover something about his brothers here, is they're challenging Jesus. And they're saying, listen, if you want to be famous, if you want to be well known, you can't hang around here in Galilee. You want to really get your face out there, then go on up there so that your disciples may see the works you're doing, because no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. Now you would say, well, they're just giving good political advice to a brother, right? And it probably is good political advice, but Jesus had his own timetable for everything. But the crux of the matter was that his brothers, what? Did not believe in him. Now that's a marvelous thing. Think about this. They grew up with Jesus. They grew up in the same home with Jesus. They knew him for 30 years. And they still did not believe who he was. How's that? How could that be? Well, first of all, remember, Jesus did no miracles for the first 30 years of his life. There was no proof that he was the Son of God. Nor did he go around preaching that he was the Son of God for the first 30 years of his life. There's no evidence of that either. At one point when he was 12 years old, he told them, "You do not know I must be about my Father's business," where he sat in the temple and conversed with them. It was obvious that he had great wisdom, but he wasn't proclaiming who he was at that point. He wasn't going out and proselytizing and trying to get all the people in Nazareth, where he grew up, and tell them, "Follow me." He didn't do any of that. None of that was being done until he was 30 years old, at the time when the Spirit of God came upon him, when he was filled with the Spirit of God, anointed with the Spirit of God to do the ministry that God had for him to do for the next 3 years. Jesus didn't do anything miraculous in his own power. Everything was done by the Holy Spirit. So his brothers grow up with him. They see his perfection. And often when you see perfection in somebody else, it may not stir the best feelings within you because it shows you up for what you are. I don't know how his brothers reacted to the righteousness that Jesus lived, because he lived perfectly righteously in every way. The only perfect person that ever lived. Maybe he was called Goody Two-Shoes or whatever expression they used back in those days, but his brothers obviously did not believe that he was the Son of God. They did not understand that. Now, later on, we'll find out that James did. One of the brothers of Jesus, named James, the half-brother of Jesus, he believed later on, and he was actually martyred for his faith in Jesus Christ. So it's likely that most of them did believe following these times, but there was a period of time where they did not believe in him. And here it was here. They didn't see who he really was. How can someone be so close and yet be so far away? You know, that's possible. It's possible for people to go to an evangelical church. It's possible for young people to grow up hearing the gospel and knowing the truth of it and still not trusting Jesus for themselves. It's possible to know all the words to all the hymns and the songs, to know verses from the Bible, have them memorized, but still not personally put their faith in Jesus Christ. That has happened many a time. And so that's why I urge you, it's important to respond to Jesus while you can, to trust him and give him your heart when you're young. Trust him early. These brothers had not done that. Jesus said to them, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready." John 7:6. Your time is always ready. Now, what's he saying? He says, it's not time for me to go up to be revealed to the world, but your time is always ready. Now, he wasn't talking about them going to Jerusalem. He was talking about, it's your time to trust in me. For the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 6, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. He was challenging his brothers. He said, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify. Now remember I said you got to grab the bar on the side, the little bar, and hold your left mouse down and then scroll. There you go. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. You go up to the feast. I'm not yet going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come. When he says these things to them, he remained in Galilee. And so Jesus says to them, I'm walking according to a certain timetable. God has a plan, and I'm walking in his plan. It's not my time. When it's time, I'll go up. Jesus was walking in the will of the Father. Can I challenge you? Are you an independent person who's walking your own life, doing your own thing, and all the while God says, I have a timetable for you too? Did you know that God has a timetable for you? God has a plan for every one of you. Do you seek his will? Do you fall before him? You know, Jesus spent much time in prayer because he wanted to walk in the Father's timetable. He wanted to be exactly where God wanted to be at exactly the right time. And when you look through the Gospels, you'll find that. You'll find he was exactly in the right place at the right time with the right word. You remember the woman at the well? That was God's timing, right? Do you know that God has a plan for your life? And that God has a very detailed plan for your experience. Things are not randomly happening by chance. God is ordering your days. And the circumstances that come into your life are allowed and permitted by God. He has a perfect plan for you. Don't miss it. How do I then enjoy the perfect plan of God? Submit to Him. Say, Lord, You have a plan for me today. Make me aware of it. Let me live in it. Let me walk in it. And oh, I'm telling you what an adventure life becomes when you walk with God, when you trust the Lord, when you say, Lord, my day is Yours. The people that come into my life, You've created those experiences. Everything God can arrange to the smallest details. At any rate, Jesus says, the scripture says in John 7:9, He remained in Galilee. But when His brothers had gone up, then He also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. It was God's plan at this time. The Jews sought Him at the feast, saying, Where is He? And there was much complaining among the people concerning Him. There was a lot of discussion about Jesus. This was a major feast. The miracles of Jesus, they had heard about them. One of the miracles they'd heard was that He healed a man on the Sabbath. You remember in John chapter 5, the man by the pool who was crippled for 38 years, and Jesus made him well, but He made him well on the Sabbath day. Remember what the Jews wanted to do to him? What did they want to do? Anybody remember back that far? What did the Jews want to do to Jesus because He healed a man on the Sabbath? They wanted to kill Him. They wanted to put Him to death. And so it says here, there was a lot of discussion. People were murmuring about this Jesus, this one who was doing these miracles and the teachings, and they were amazed. And it says, some said He's good. Others said, no, on the contrary, He deceives the people. There was lots of arguing going on about Jesus. But no one spoke openly of Him for fear of the Jews. They knew that they were out to kill Him. Now, about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. So He was there. But He remained incognito. He remained under the radar, so to speak, as He walked among the people. But finally, His time had come. God had an appointed time for Him. Everything happens in God's timetable. Don't get impatient. Trust the Lord. When it comes to reaching our community, may the Lord show us what to do. May the Lord give us a dependence on Him that will walk in the timing of God in everything that we do, and trust the Lord and see what He will do. We don't know how He's going to do it, but we can trust Him. In the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and He taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? In other words, he's not a Pharisee. He hasn't gone through all the religious teachings that the Jews have, but he seems to know more than they do. How does he know? Jesus gave an answer to it. How did he know? He said, my doctrine is not mine, but His who sent me. In other words, I'm getting it from the Father. The Father is giving me what to share, just as He said in John chapter 5. He's pointing to the truth. If anyone wills to do His will, he will know concerning the doctrine, whether it's from God or whether I speak of my own authority. John 7:17 is important. Here's why. He says this, if you are willing to do the Father's will, if you are willing, what will you do? You'll understand the doctrine. You'll know whether it's from God, whether I speak of my own authority. Listen, the problem is not that people don't understand. The problem is that people don't want to understand. That's the problem. It's that people are unwilling to understand and hear what it is that God has to say. If you're willing to hear from God, God will show you. Did you get that? If someone is willing to hear from God, God will reveal the truth to them. He will find a seeking heart, and He will bless a seeking heart. He will reveal a seeking heart. He will reveal Jesus Christ to them. So if you want to know the will of God, first thing you want to do is be willing to follow it. If you're unwilling to follow the will of God, so what if you know what it is? What are you going to do? Turn away. Walk away. May God give you a willing heart to say, Lord, I'm willing for whatever you want in my experience. I am willing. And if you are, my goodness, God will show you the truth. And the truth will definitely set you free. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true. And no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keeps the law? Why do you seek to kill me? So Jesus is saying, I'm bringing you the truth. You're not accepting it. Instead, you want to kill me. You want to put me to death. And the people said to him, you've got a demon. Who's seeking to kill you? And Jesus answered and said to them, I did one work and you all marvel. That was the healing of the man by the pool of Siloam. Moses therefore gave you circumcision on the Sabbath, so the law of Moses should not be broken. Are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Now Jesus said, when Moses said, you don't do any work on the Sabbath, but there was something they did do on the Sabbath, and Moses did it, it was circumcision on the Sabbath. And as Moses gave them circumcision, he said, you circumcise a person on the Sabbath. You do that. He said, if you're going to do that kind of work on the Sabbath, I'm going to heal somebody on the Sabbath. What's wrong with that? He says, you're not judging right. You're judging according to your own appearance, but you're not judging with righteous judgment. You know, you need to make judgments. You need to make a call. You need to be willing to discern the way things really are. But he says, there's something wrong with your perception of me. Sad thing, his brothers didn't see who he was. Many of the people didn't see who he was. Many of the crowd didn't understand who he was. And Jesus kept telling them the truth. He said, if you want to know me, you just got to be willing. That's all. If you're willing, I'll show myself to you. That's God. That's God's heart for you. And I want you to know it's God's heart for you today. You want to know more of God? Be willing for God to show you. Don't hold back. Don't keep a corner for yourself. Don't have a piece of your life that's rejecting God, because you're going to miss the blessings that God has for you. Well, some of them from Jerusalem said, isn't this he whom they seek to kill? Look, he speaks boldly. They say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ? However, we know where this man is from. When the Christ comes, no one knows where he is from. They were having this great debate about Jesus. You know, there's a time when you have to stop debating and you have to make a decision. Verse 27. They were having a great debate about Jesus. But there's a time when you have to make a decision. There's a time when you have to say, yes, Lord. For salvation, Lord, now I'm going to trust you. For him being the Lord of your life, for letting him take over every part of your experience, yes, Lord, I'm ready, Lord, to trust you. So Jesus cried out as he taught in the temple. He was responding to them. He cared. He was concerned. He was willing to answer their questions. We can see him answering their questions. This is the heart of Jesus. He says, you both know me and you know where I'm from. I didn't come from myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. But I know him, for I am from him. You went a little too far. A little more. Back up there. But I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me. Therefore they sought to take him. He says, listen, you know, I'm telling you who I am. I'm making it so plain. Did he not make it plain? Did he not tell them he was the bread of life? Did he not make it plain who he was to them? He says, I'm sent from my Father. He had told them that earlier when he had healed that man. And the more he told them, the more they wanted to kill him. And so what was their response again? They sought to take him. But no one laid a hand on him. Why? Because his hour had not yet come. You know, I remember a friend of mine used to say, the safest place you can be is in the center of God's will. Jonah stepped out of the center of God's will. God told him to go to Nineveh and preach to them. Jonah didn't want to do God's will, so he ends up in a mighty storm out in the ocean and ends up getting thrown over the side and eaten by a great whale, swallowed up, right? By a great fish, because he would not stay in the center of God's will. Can I encourage you, stay in the center of God's will? It's the safest place you can be. They were going to arrest Jesus. They couldn't do it because his hour had not yet come. He was in the center of the will of God. May God keep us there ourselves. And many of the people believed in him and said, when the Christ comes, will he do more signs than these which this man has done? The Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring these things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Well, we're going to get him this time. We're bringing in the big guns. We're going to bring in the soldiers, and they're going to get him. Jesus said this to them, I will be with you a little while longer, and then I go to him who sent me. You will seek me, and you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. Wow. He says this, Where is he going? He's going back to the Father. When's that going to happen? After the crucifixion. He says, listen, you're going to be looking for me, but you're not going to be able to find me. Because, and where I am, you cannot go there. Listen, if you don't trust Christ, you can't go to heaven. I can't make it any plainer than that. That's what Jesus says here. Where I am, you cannot come. You want Jesus Christ, you want to be in God's heaven, you have to come by Jesus. No man comes to the Father, he said, except by me. The Jews said among themselves, where does he intend to go? We cannot find him. Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? That is, the Jews that lived in Greek countries. He said, are you leaving the area so that we won't be able to find you? Are you going to some other country? They were thinking on a physical plane. He was speaking in spiritual truths, and they were not grasping it at all. What is this thing? He said, you will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. They didn't understand his words. So what does Jesus do? He shuts it all down, and then in mercy, he does something wonderful. Every day during the Feast of Tabernacles, they would take a pitcher of water from the pool of Siloam. They would bring it out before the crowd of people, and they would pour out that water, pour it right out on the stonework. And what was they would do that for was to remind the people in the desert, in the wilderness, that God brought them water out of the rock. Do you remember that story from the Old Testament? God brought water out of the rock. And it was a declaration of the wonderful provision of God, of water in the middle of the desert, of provision in the midst of hardship, of God being with them in the midst of deep trial. I don't know, maybe you're going through deep trial right now. I want you to know that there is provision. There is a place. There is someone who is providing in the midst of deep trial. So what happens? I believe that it was probably just at that moment that they came out with their water jug and were beginning to pour it, that Jesus stood up and said something marvelous. What did he say? On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. What did he do? He comes and he stands before the crowds and he says, listen, here I am. I'm offering to you. I'm giving to you all that you need. If you think the children of Israel in the desert, they needed water and God provided it, I am now the water of life. I'm before you now. I'm providing you the water that you need. Here I am. If you're thirsty, if you want real provision, if you want life-saving provision, if you want spiritual provision, I am here. I'm the water of life. In John chapter 6, he said he was the bread of life. Now in John chapter 7, he says, I am the water of life. I'm here, and I'm here right now, and I'm here for you. So come, come, he says, come and drink. If you're thirsty, come and drink. That's what Jesus says. Are you thirsty tonight? Come and drink. Do you have a spiritual thirst in your soul? Come and drink. Maybe we said, well, how do I come? How do I drink? How can I find provision right now? Because you know what Jesus is saying here? The tense in his verb that he's speaking here is, if you're thirsty, continue to drink. Keep on drinking. Oh man, listen, I got to keep on drinking. I have to keep on drinking every day. I get overwhelmed many times in a day. I get faced with situations beyond me often. I have to come and drink. The last few weeks have been difficult. And yet, what have I done? I had to come. I had to come and drink. I said, Jesus, I need you. I need you, Lord. I need you to be able to be a blessing to people who are hurting. I need you, Lord, to be able to speak the truth in love, to be able to preach the gospel to people. I need you, Lord. So I was thirsty. But I know if you're thirsty, there's a place that you can find satisfaction. The problem is that the world thinks if you're thirsty, come and drink. And they think that this is going to fix things. Never does. Anything that the world offers you will never satisfy the deep longings of your soul. They'll never meet the deep needs of your heart. They'll never touch what needs to be touched by God alone. Nothing can satisfy better than Jesus Christ. If anyone is thirsty, Jesus cried, let him come to me and drink. Well, that's all but beautiful and it's all wonderful, but how do I drink? How do I drink? I can't go and find Jesus and drink him like I just drank a little bit of water. The scripture says, Jesus said, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water, will flow rivers of living water. So, how does Jesus tell us that we drink? By believing. By actually trusting Jesus. By bringing your cares, by bringing your sorrows, by bringing your struggles, by bringing yourself before the Lord, saying, God, I'm going to trust you with this. I can't fix this. I can't deal with it. I can't make it happen, but I'm going to trust you with it. Now, for salvation, you need to come and drink. For peace, you need to come and drink. For provision, you need to come and drink. For everything in your life, you need to come to Jesus and trust in God. The whole of the Christian life is the just shall live by faith. Oh, come and drink today. Come and discover who Jesus really is. All the crowds, the brothers didn't know who he was. The crowds were having a big debate about who he was. The Pharisees were wanting to kill him and put him to death. In the midst of all of the maelstrom that was going on all around him at the feast, Jesus stands up and he declares to them all, if you're thirsty, come and drink. You can have debates about who Jesus is. You can have discussions about religion. You can talk about one thing or the other and think that, oh, it might be this way. Maybe it's that way. You can have write books about it. You can have colleges about it all. And all the while, Jesus is standing and he's crying out to people, if you're thirsty, come and drink. Come to Jesus. Come. His arms are open wide. He does have provision. When will he have it? I believe, come now and find provision. Come in the midst of your depth, of your struggle. Come in the bottom of the pit where you might be in. Come wherever you are and drink. And if you come, you will find provision. Jesus invites us to come. And what does he promise? He says, he who believes in me, he who depends upon me, he who trusts in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. What does he say? He says, listen, if you'll come and drink from me, not only will you be full, but you will overflow. Not only will you overflow, but you'll overflow much. He didn't say trickles of living water. He didn't even say one trickle. He didn't say a brook of living water. He promised rivers of living water coming out of the person who believes. What's he talking about? He says, I will provide you with so much provision that it will fill you up, it will overflow from you, and it will be actually, there will be rivers flowing from you. Others will find a source of strength. Others will find a source of peace. Others will find a source of joy. Others will discover the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Because what is he talking about when he talks about this rivers of water? This he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit. He said, this is the Spirit of God who will come in you and flow out of you, who will fill you up, who will overflow from you. He said, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Spirit did not yet fall at Pentecost because Jesus had not yet finished his work. But he was making it plain, if you want the Holy Spirit, if you want all that he has, if you want the fullness of God in your life and the fullness of God flowing out of your life, you need to come to Jesus. You need to come to Jesus. All the debate and all the religions and all the arguments and all the things that people want to go on about, and all the while, in the midst of all of that stuff, Jesus is crying out, if you're thirsty, come and drink. May God bless your souls. May he bless my own soul not to stray far from this. There are times when I've been thirsty and I've drunk at the wrong well. And I'll tell you, I've never been satisfied there. There are times in my life when I thought that this might satisfy or that might satisfy. But in the end, it doesn't satisfy. The only thing that will satisfy is Jesus Christ himself. Come and drink. The response from some of the crowd was, this is truly the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. Some said, will Christ come out of Galilee? They're still having their debates. So there was a vision among the people because of him. Some wanted to take him, but no one laid his hands on them. The officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, why have you not brought this man? The officers said to him, no man ever spoke like this man. Are you also deceived? How many of the rulers and Pharisees believed in him, but this crowd doesn't know what the law is accursed. Nicodemus, he who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said this. Before it hears him and knows what he's doing, the answer said to him, are you from Galilee? Search and look. No prophet arises out of Galilee. Everyone went to his own house. Nicodemus had believed in him, and he defended Jesus here. One man of the rulers of Israel stood up and defended Jesus in the crowd. The soldiers went to get him, and his words prevented them from arresting him. Imagine. They said, no one has ever spoke like this man. Jesus stands at the center of the human race. He stands at the center of all things. And he stands here tonight in this room, and he says, if you're thirsty, come and drink. As if he was standing right here, he opens his arms to you, and he says, if you're thirsty, come and drink. Drink for salvation. He stands for those who are listening to this message around the world through the internet. And he's saying, if you're thirsty, come and drink. Anyone can come. But you first, you have to be what? Thirsty. If you're not thirsty, you're not going to drink. But if you're thirsty, Jesus says, come and drink. Oh, I tell you, there's a lot of thirsty people, but they're drinking at the wrong well. In the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah says, my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken the fountain of living water, and they've dug for themselves wells which carry no water at all. They've gone to other wells. They leave the real well. Listen, don't leave the real well. You're getting frustrated at times? Did you have a bad week? Are you burnt out a little? Come and drink. Come back to Jesus. Yes.
You know, you got the song in your system, will Jesus come to the water, stand by my side?
I do, yeah. But I think time-wise, we're probably not going to do another song. I'm out of time. But yes, but that song carries that idea, doesn't it? Come and drink. Very true. It does. Or a song like Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Don't just come once for salvation. Keep coming to Him. He's the source. He's the supply. Keep on drinking. And Jesus has promised you can live in a land of never thirst if you'll keep on drinking. That's right. You won't be denied. Praise the Lord. That's what God has to say to you. And I believe tonight He's calling to all of us, come back. Come back to the one well. Come back to the one person and come to Him even if it's for the first time. Lord, here I am. I'm coming to You. I'm trusting in You. And the promise is the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life. That doesn't mean everything will be hunky-dory all the time. Things may get rougher. Things may get harder. But at least I will have the Lord in the middle of it. And, you know, in that light, I just want you to remember Marie in prayer. Her tumor started to grow back. So we're looking at going for more chemo tomorrow. But I can tell you this, the Spirit of God is with us. And we're drinking at the fountain. And when we're drinking at the fountain, God gives His presence. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean it all goes away. But we have Jesus in the middle of the trial, in the middle of it. We're drinking at the fountain. I got no place else to go, friends. I have learned, and I have to keep relearning, I have nowhere else to go but to Jesus and drink. Trust the Lord. Trust Him with your life. Trust Him with your finances. Trust Him with your kids. Trust Him with the storms. Trust Him with the problems. Trust Him with your eternal soul. Trust Him for all things at all times. Come and drink. You won't be denied. Let's pray. Thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, that Lord, you have touched our lives. Many of us did not once believe in you, just like Jesus' brothers. But you brought us to the place where we could see who you really were, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your patience with people, Lord. Even as you went up into the crowds and you heard all the things they said about you, you didn't walk away. You didn't turn away from them. You stood among them and you cried out. You revealed who you were. You encouraged them that if they were willing, that you would touch them. If they were willing, that you would open their souls. And you encourage us now to come and to drink from the fountain of life. Oh God, I pray that tonight we would drink. That Lord, we would have a fresh filling of the Spirit of God in our lives because we know the source of life, Jesus Christ. Bring us there, Lord. Help us to fall before you and seek your face and experience God in a fresh way because you've promised it in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.